Today's daf is Sukkah daf Yud Aleph. We left off in daf Yud Amud Beis. We're at Amrav Tachlifa Baravimi. So we were in the middle of a discussion about sleeping inside of a canopy inside of a sukkah. Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel had said that you're allowed to sleep in a kila in a sukkah, even though there is a gag, but that's only provided that it's less than 10 tefachim high. So the Gemara had many rayos, whether that is correct or not. And the Gemara is going to begin by talking about whether saying Kriya Shema inside of a canopy, even if a person is unclothed and his head is stuck out of the canopy, whether that's okay. And then we're going to have a second version of Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel on the top of Yud Aleph Amar Aleph about sleeping inside of a kila. And we're going to raise the concept of Lo Asi Oel Arayu Mevatel Oel Keva, that a temporary Oel is not going to overpower the presence of a more permanent type of Oel. And therefore, maybe we could even ignore the canopy entirely. Then the Mishnah and Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph is going to give us the basic requirements of schach, what it takes to have schach kosher. And we're going to discuss that if you had schach that was attached to the ground, that was on your sukkah, and then you cut it, so there's a machlokas amorayim, whether you're going to need to do anything else other than just cut it after it was already over your sukkah. We're going to have three challenges to the shita of Rav on the top of Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, and then we're going to have three explanations in the middle of Daf Yud Aleph and Beis of the Machlokas about picking berries from Hadassah, because we're going to get into the larger discussion of Tasav Lomana Asui and how it applies to Lulav as well, to Dalad Minim as well, that if you have Dalad Minim that are possible, then you do something external to them that's going to make them kosher. So we're going to have a Machlokas about that as well, and that's going to lead us into a Machlokas about Lulav Tsarich Eged, whether Lulav needs to be tied together as part of the Iker Din of Lulav, or whether it's only a Din in Hidr Mitzvah. And then at the very end of the daf, which we're probably not going to get to today, we're going to have four different shitos for how we know the requirements of Tzchach, how we know that Tzchach has to be something that's Gidula Min Haaretz, that's Einu Mekabel Tumah, the basic requirements of Tzchach. So again, we left off about eight lines before the end of the page. Amar Rav Tachlifa Baravimi Amar Shmuel. So Rav Tachlifa Baravimi says in the name of Shmuel, Hayashu Mekila Arum, if someone is sleeping inside of a kila, inside of a canopy bed, and he's not dressed, motzi roshu chutz l'kila v'kari kriyashma. He can stick his head outside of the kila, and he can say kriyashma, and that is fine. It's not a problem of him being b'makom ha'erva, in the same place as his erva, because his head is sticking outside of the kila. So whatever's inside the kila is considered one makom, whatever's outside the kila is considered another makom. Tosus points out that clearly lo chayashmu libo roes ha'erva. In addition to the general problem of saying brachos or kriyashma dvarim shabedu in front of Erva, there's also a problem of a person saying Dvarim Shebekdusha when Libo Roa Es Erva, when there's nothing being mafsik between his heart and his Makom Erva. So clearly, if a person is Arum inside of the Kila, even though when he sticks his head out of the Kila, where the Bracha is being said, his mouth is not anywhere near, is not in the same place as the Erva is, but certainly Libo Roa Es Erva would still be a problem. So Shmuel clearly just doesn't assume that Libo Roes Ha'erva is an issue. We paskin Libo Roes Ha'erva is an issue. So if a person were wearing nothing but a flowing robe, which has nothing being mafsik between his lev and his erva, that would be a problem for Kriya Shema. But anyway, we're assuming that that problem doesn't exist. So Meis Feiling, where I ask the question, Yashem Mekila Arum, Lo Yotzi Rosho Chutz L'Kila V'Yikra Kriya Shema. But didn't we learn that if a person is sleeping unclothed in a kila, he should not stick his head out and say Kriya Shema? So says Gemara, that's only if the kila is 10 tefachim tall. So over here we're talking about where the kila is 10 tefachim high. That's the chiluk, whether it's 10 tefachim high or not. And it's most mistaver to say this way, because the seifa says halamaze dome lo omid bebayus arum shalo yotziro shulchutz lechalon v'yikra kriyashma. When it's 10 tefachim high, you're not allowed to just stick your head out and say kriyashma, because then the kila is not considered like a blanket that's on you. It's like a room. It's much like being in a house unclothed and sticking your head out the window and saying Kriya Shema. It doesn't help to stick your head out the window and saying Kriya Shema, because you're not covered. Being inside of a room doesn't mean you're covered. Being covered would mean that you have to have something covering you. So if it's less than 10 tefachim then it's considered a cover, and you could stick your head outside of the cover and say Kriya Shema. But if it's more than 10 tefachim, it's considered a room, it's considered a bayis, and that's certainly certainly doesn't help to stick your head outside of the bayis and to say Kriya Shema. So Shema Mina, that's the raya that there is such a chiluk between whether it's 10 tefachim high or not 10 tefachim high. Ubayis nami afal pishem gavav asara kiven de kviya allahu kiven de kviya allahu de lo gara mikinofos. But it happens to be the bayis is not going to have the same chiluk of whether it's 10 tefachim high or not. By kila we say that when it's 10 tefachim high, so then it has the height and the structural dimensions of what would be considered like a separate room, like a house where sticking your head out is not good enough. But when it comes to an actual house, it doesn't really make a difference if it's 10 tefachim high or not. A bayis is kavua, so it's always considered a room, it's always considered a separate ol, and sticking one's head out and saying kriya shema would never be an option by a bayis, because it's always considered a valid ol. So that was all within the first Lashon, which appeared about a little less than halfway down the page on Yoram Beis, that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said that a person is allowed to sleep in a kila and a sukkah, even though the kila, even though the canopy has a roof, it does not come to a point at the top, it has a roof that's more than a tefach, provided that it's less than 10 tefachim high. You're allowed to sleep in such a kila. Now we have a different Lashon of what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says. Lishna achrina amri la, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, mutter lishon bekilas chasan besukah lefi she'ein lo gag. One is allowed to sleep in a kilas chasan in a sukkah because it doesn't have a roof. It comes to a point at the top. There is no one tefach wide roof. Even though it's 10 tefachim or more high, still one is allowed to sleep in such a kila in the sukkah. So the question the Rishonim deal with over here, this is a different lashon. It's certainly a different comment than Rabbi Dom Rishmol said before. But is it necessarily cholik on what Rabbi Dom Rishmol said in the first lashon? In the first lashon, he was talking about where the canopy has a roof, and he said it better be less than 10 tefachim high. More than 10 tefachim high is a problem if it has a roof. Over here he's talking about where it doesn't have a roof, and he said it doesn't matter if it's 10 tefachim high or not, it could be even more than 10 tefachim high, it doesn't have a roof. On the surface it doesn't seem that there's necessarily any machlokas. It could be that in order for there to be a problem with a canopy, it needs to have both issues, both that it has a roof and that it be above 10 tefachim. If you could solve either one of those issues, if it either does not have a roof, or it's less than 10 tefachim, one or the other, that would solve the problem and you would be allowed to sleep in the canopy in the sukkah. That would be the Pashut reading of this Lishna Achrina. There is a Machlokas Rishonim, though, exactly how to understand this. The Ritva understands that the two Lishonos are not cholik on each other, they're mashlim each other, exactly like we just said, that Lukuli Alma, the Yisra to sleep under a kila, is only if it has a roof and is more than 10 tefachim high. And the Ritva says, and that's why a lot of times when the Gemara quotes a second Lashon, the Gemara doesn't use the term Lishna Achrina Amrila, the Gemara will use the term Ika Da Amri. Lishna Achrina Amrila is when they're not cholik, when there's not necessarily a machlokas between the first Lashon and the second Lashon. Ika Da Amri would indicate that it's a machlokas. So says the Ritva, there is no machlokas going on over here. However, other Rishonim hold that these Lashonos are cholik on each other, but there's a machlokas Rishonim in what way these Lashonos are cholik on each other. What exactly is the point of dispute between these Lashonos? The Rush in Simon Chaf quotes from the Ritz Geis that they're arguing about a kila that has a roof but is less than 10 tefachim tall. The first Lashon was very clear that a kila that has a roof, as long as it's under 10 tefachim, it's good. It's only a problem if it's more than 10 tefachim. The Lishna Basra, the second Lashon, would hold that if it has a roof, it's problematic whenever. Meaning, the way that the Ritz Geis reads the second Lashon is, you're allowed to sleep in a kilas chasana besukah as long as it doesn't have a roof, and then once it doesn't have a roof, we don't care how high it is. But just like we don't care how high it is if it doesn't have a roof, we also don't care how high it is if it does have a roof. If it has a roof, it's always going to be problematic, even if it's less than 10 tefachim high. It's not going to make enough gemin, it's not going to make any difference, no matter whether it's more than 10 tefachim or below 10 tefachim. That is the Ritz Geis. Now, Tosos and Daf Yoram Beis Dibra Maschil Ubilvad also understands that the two Lashonos are arguing, but he says in such a kila, everyone would agree you're allowed to sleep under it. If it has a roof and it's under 10 tefachim high, because the Kuli Alma, in order to sleep under a kila, it needs to be 10 tefachim high
and to have a roof. So what are they arguing about? What's the machlokas of the Lashonos? It's by Akilas Chasanim that doesn't have a roof. The Lishna Kama would hold that it has a din of naklitin, that if it's 10 tefachim high, you're not allowed to sleep under it, whereas Lishna Basha says that naklitin are more kavua than Akilas Chasanim, and therefore only by naklitin we say that if it's 10 tefachim high, it's asr to sleep under it, but by Akilas Chasanim, even if it's 10 tefachim high, it's mutter to sleep under it. So those are three approaches to how to understand this Lishna Achrin. Again, Pasha Peshat is probably like the Ritva says, that they're not arguing, but the Rush quotes this Ritz Gaius, and the Balei Tosfos understand that there is some sort of machlokas going on over here. So the Gemara challenges. But didn't we learn that if you sleep in a kila, you're not yotze yuchiyuv? You Rabbi Domer Shmuel just told me that you're allowed to sleep in a kila in a sukkah. So that's the Gemara. How come I ask him b'shiyish l'gag? No, when's it a problem? It's a problem if it has a roof. Rabbi Domer Shmuel, according to this lashon, only said it's mutter when it doesn't have a roof. So that challenge is deflected. Tashma, another raya. Naklitin shnayim v'kinofos are ba'a. The difference between naklitin and kinofos is naklitin is when you have two poles and therefore there's no roof. When you put the sheet over it, when you put the canopy over it, it comes to a point at the top. But kinofos are ba'a. It's four poles and therefore there's a legitimate roof. There's more than a tefach wide roof when you put the canopy over it. Pires al gabe kinofos psula. So if you spread it over kinofos, you spread the cloth over kinofos, it's going to be possible. But al gabe neklitin ksheira. But if you put it over naklitin, it's going to be kosher. There's no roof. But the Braisa adds, you need to be careful that the Naklitin are not 10 tefachim high. Even by Naklitin, where there is no roof, if it's 10 tefachim high, it's a problem. Hagavon min amita asara, psula. So you see that if it's more than 10 tefachim high, it's going to be possible, even though there is no gag. So isn't this a kasha in Rudam Shmuel, who holds that sleeping under a kilas chasanim that does not have a roof is perfectly fine, even if it's more than 10 tefachim high? Says Gemara, shayin naklit into kavi. Kilas chasanim is different than naklitin. Naklitin are something that's more kavua, it's more of a permanent structure, and therefore, if it's 10 tefachim high, even though it comes to a point at the top and it does not have a roof, is going to be problematic. Akilas chasanim, not as kavua, and therefore, if it comes to a point, doesn't have a roof, doesn't matter how high it is, it's going to be kosher. Frakta Gemara, ikavi, lavi kikinofos. Well, wait a second, if the naklitin are so kavua, then it should be a problem like the kinofos, meaning it should be a problem even when it's less than 10 tefachim high. Says Gemara, well, there's kavua. Legabe kinofos lo kavi. They're not quite kavua like the kinofos, but legabe kila kavi. But it's more kavua than the kila. So there are multiple levels over here. So the Rishonim write that maskana sadavar, at the end of the day, when all is said and done in this sugya, the Ritva, the Ran, all the Rishonim explain, there are three levels over here. There's kila, which only if it's 10 tefachim high and has a roof, you're not allowed to sleep under it. But if it's less than 10 tefachim high or does not have a roof, you're allowed to sleep under it. Then there's second level is naklitim, which are more kavua than a kila, and therefore the only requirement you have in order to make it usher to sleep under them is that it be 10 tefachim high. But if it's 10 tefachim high, you're not allowed to sleep under it even though there's no roof. If it's less than 10 tefachim high, even if there is a roof, you would be allowed to sleep under it. And then the third level is kinofos, which are even more kavua than naklitin, and halacha is it's always usher to sleep under when there is a roof, even if it is less than 10 tefachim high, and when they're gvoah asar tefachim, even if it didn't have a roof, it would be aser. The difficulty is the Rambam. The Rambam equates kila, kinofos, and naklitin. Says by all of them, they're only possible if they're gavoah asar tefachim and that they have a gag. So that's a bit of a challenge, why the Rambam would say that. So the Magen Mishnah works on it, that the Rambam holds somehow that our sugya is shaloka halacha, because our sugya is all assuming, like the Shita, that sukkah kamin srif is kshera, that shipule olim is ka'olim damu, that if you have a sukkah that comes to a point, that would be kosher. We don't hold like that. So the Rambam understands that our entire sugya is shaloka halacha, and that's why he's able to equate kila, kinofos, and naklitin. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Tarush Rav Huna, mutar lishum mekila af li sheyesh lagag, afli shegavoa asara. So you're allowed to sleep in a kila, even if it has a roof, and even though it's more than 10 tefachim high. So says Mar Kaman, Rabbi Yehuda, damar lo asi olo raim vata lo al keva. Yeah, that's going like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that we happen to reject, that an ol arai cannot be mevatal in ol keva. So since you're in a larger ol, a more meaningful ol of the sukkah, so whatever your ol you're sleeping on by your bed is not going to make a difference. The sukkah is the real ol. That's what we're assuming. That's why the kila is okay, even if it has a roof, and even though it is more than 10 tefachim off the ground. As Tosus points out, we're on this line that you're allowed to sleep in the kilos chasanim, even though it's yesh lagag and gavah asara, ein halacha kein. We don't actually hold that way. Damrin b'sof pirkin, abay yashchel Rav Yosef, degani b'kilos chasanim b'sukkah, Amar Kiman, Kereb Lazar. When Abai saw that Rav Yosef was sleeping in such a kila, he said, "Why you go like Shitas Rav Lazar? Mashma delo shari ela below gag." Makes it sound like this is not permissible unless there is no roof. Not only that, when Rav permitted Rav Acha Bardula to sleep in the kilos chasan and basuka, the Gemara says mishambaki because of the bugs that were bothering Rav Acha Bardula, and the point was that he was a mitztayer to not sleep in a kila, and the halach is a mitztayer put him in a sukkah. That's the only reason he let him, because otherwise he was a mitztayer. So anyway, he's pater from sukkah, but really, Meikra Adin, we do not allow this. La halacha, this is not permissible. But anyway, where do we find this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that lo asi ol arai umevata lo al keva? Titnan, we have a Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, noagin ayinu lishan tachas amita b'fnei hazakenim. Rabbi Yehuda says that when we would go visit the zakenim, we would sleep under the beds in the sukkah. Now, wait a second. Under the bed is forming an ohel over them. So isn't that mafsik between them and the schach? Isn't that going to be a problem? So v'leima alach Rabbi Yehuda. So okay, good. So that's where we see that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But why didn't you just say the alach is like Rabbi Yehuda? Why does he have to say we slept under the beds? Just tell me that you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So yemar alach Rabbi Yehuda hava mina hanimi. I'm sorry. When we say about the kila, why does he have to say that it's mutter to sleep in a kila that sends tefachim tol? Rabbi Yehuda already says you're allowed to sleep under a bed. So you want to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Say that I paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Why do you have to pretend like you're reinventing the wheel, like you're saying something brand new? There's nothing new over here. You're just paskening like whatever Rabbi Yehuda said about the bed, you're saying about the kila. It's the same din that it's ten tefachim high and it has a roof, and you're holding that you're allowed to sleep under it because lo asi ol arai mevatal ol keva. So he says no, saying that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda would not have really gotten the point across, because iyamar alach Rabbi Yehuda hava mina hanimi lemita de legaba asuya aval kila de letocha asuya emelo. One might have made a chiluk and said that if we would have just said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to sleep under a bed, I would have said yes, because a bed is not a real ohel, because the bed is not, although structurally it looks just like an ohel, and it could function like an ohel, but that's not what it's made to function like. When one builds a bed, they don't use it as a roof to protect that which is under it. They use the bed for the tashmisha al gaba, to be able to use it by sleeping or sitting on top of it. So that takes away a little bit from its status as an ohel, a chiddush, but there is such a din that it takes away when the purpose of building the ohel is not for the sake of being ma'ahil, even though structurally you would say it's as much of a binyan, and it protects as much underneath as a regular ohel, but when that's not its goal, when that's not its purpose, you might think that that's not a real ohel at all, and that's why you're still considered to be sleeping in the sukkah, kamash mulan. That's why it has to tell me, taimid rabiyud d'dolasi ol arayim vatal ol keva. Then Rabbi Yehuda holds a more extreme shita that any type of ol arai is going to be inconsequential when you're in the larger ol keva of the sukkah. So lo shna mita, lo shna kila, it doesn't make a difference if it's a bed or a kila. Now this hava amina, that there's a difference between an ol that's main tashmish is for what's on top and the main tashmish is for what's on bottom, is actually a halacha, just not in hilchas sukkah. Meaning it may not be a halacha over here by Hilchas Sukkah, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, an Ohel Arai of any kind is not Mevatel at Ohel Keva, and if you hold like we hold, probably sleeping under the bed is not going to be okay either. I didn't check that up, La'alach, but I would assume that that's the case. But when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, to the halachas of Binyan on Shabbos, violating the halachas of Bona, let's say opening up an umbrella. Well, umbrella is a bad example because that's a hard one to figure out why it's asur, but we assume opening up an umbrella is asur. But let's when you make an Ohel to protect yourself from the from the rain or from the sun. So that's a problem on Shabbos to build a canopy over oneself. Now, what about unfolding a folding table outside, or even inside? Isn't that a violation of making an ohel when you unfold the folding table? It's more than a tefach wide on the top, and it protects whatever you would want to put underneath it would certainly be protected by it. So isn't it an ohel? So no, in Hilchos Shabbos, we assume that since its main tashmish is legaba asuya, it's made for what you're going to put on the table. It's not made primarily to protect what's underneath the table, so that's not a violation of asiyas ohel. Maybe another hetter with the folding table and folding chairs is that it's made to constantly be unfolded and folded. That may help also, that you're not taking different pieces and putting it together to create the ohel. Okay, but that's the halacha of Akilah. Now we move on to the halachos of Schach. Says the Mishnah, if you take any sorts of branches that are still attached to the ground, whether it be vines or any other types of branches of different fruit trees, and then you throw a little bit of, and so you run those branches across the top of a sukkah, and then you put a little schach on top of that, so the sukkah is going to be pasul. But if there's more schach kosher than there are those branches that you ran across the top of the sukkah, or if you cut those branches from being attached to the ground, you've detached them from the ground, then the sukkah is going to be kosher. Zaklal, the basic rule for schach is as follows. Sometimes vav means and, sometimes vav means or. Over here it means or. Anytime something is mekabel tuma, or does not grow from the ground, you cannot use it for schach. Over here the vav means and. Something that's not mekabel tuma and it grows from the ground, so such an item is kosher for schach. Those are the two requirements for schach. It needs to be something that's gidula min ha'aretz and is not mekabel tuma. Good. There is from the fact that the Mishnah gives all these examples, dala'as, kisum, all these different examples, so the Achronim point out that the Bar Tanura in Maseches Alos says that kisum and dala'as are mine ochlin, that they're types of are food. So l'chora, that's problematic with this Mishnah, because if they have a din ochel, then they should be possible for sichuch, because any ochel is mekabel tuma, it's mekabel tuma ochlin, so it'd be a problem for schach. So unless you say that that's a discussion in the comment in the commentaries on the side of the Mishnayos and Olos, that once it's dried up, it's no longer an ochel. Yeah, so they say thing. I think they give those kinds of suggestions that somehow it loses its status of ochel at some point. Okay, so Yasser and Yosef kamed Rav Huna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna, Yosef v'kamar, and he was saying over this Mishnah, Oshakat san ksheri. He said, you know, if you have things that branches that are still attached to the ground that are running over your sukkah, in order to make kosher, Oshakat san, all you need to do, you can cut it and just detach it from the ground, and then that's fine. Vamarav tsaruch l'nanea. But Rav said, you need to shake it also. Once you detach from the ground, that's not good enough. That's going to be a violation of tasav lo mina asui. It's that the schach is, you didn't do an asiyas haschach. You just detached from the ground and memela the schach was there. You need to do an asiyah for the schach. You need to do something. So you need to actually shake the branches to make the schach. Amalei Rav Huna hashmul amra. So Rav Huna says, what? Rav said that? I thought Shmuel said that. So Adrin Rav Yosef la'apay. So Rav Yosef turned around to Armila and he said, "Atu mika minalach de lo amr Shmuel." Did I ever tell you Shmuel didn't say it? Amr Rav yamr Shmuel. I happen to have been quoting Rav, but Rav said it and Shmuel said it. So Amalei Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, yeah, that wasn't my problem. My problem is that I know that Rav didn't say it. Hachika minalach de Shmuel amr v'lo Rav. What I was telling you is that you got your lines crossed. It's Shmuel said it and not Rav. De Rav echshur, because I know for a fact that Rav would say it's kosher even if you don't move it, even if you just detach it from the ground, that would be enough for Rav. Ki hadar Rav Amram Chasida. Now we can get into a larger discussion of Tasav Lo Menasli as it applies to Tzitzis and relate the discussion of Tzitzis to Sukkah as well. Like the story of Rav Amram Chasida, Ramat Chilta Leparzuma Din Shibesei. He used to attach Tzitzis to the begadim of the women of his house. He would the Tzitzis is Mitzvei Shazman Grama. Technically speaking, women are pater from most Mitzvei Shazman Grama except for the ones that they're chayivin, because of afinay belsan eis or other reasons. There are a bunch that they're chayivin. There's like a handful that they're pater from. So tzitzis is one of the few that they're actually pater from. Mitzvah shasman grama that women are pater from. But just like sukkah and lulav, women have the ability to volunteer to do the mitzvah. So Rav Amram Chasida thought that it's nothing wrong with women volunteering to do the mitzvah of tzitzis as well. So you would put tzitzis on their begadim. The Targum Yonasan ben Azil on the pasuk of Lo Silbash, that a woman is not allowed to wear klei gever, he's mitargim that a woman is not allowed to wear tzitzis and tefillin. That's klei gever. That's the definition of klei gever. Rav Moshe discusses that in his tshuva. Rav Moshe was asked whether a woman is allowed to wear tzitzis, so he says the lechora from the targum. It sounds like they're not allowed to wear tzitzis because klei gever. And he says, so you have to get around that problem of klei gever. You have to make it a more feminine type of tzitzis in order for it not to be a violation of a woman wearing a man's clothing. So it should be a more feminine type of a beged that happens to have dalet kanfus, and then she's allowed to wear tzitzis. But Rav Moshe said if she's doing this because she's a feminist and she wants men and women to be equal in all of halacha and whatever. I was just yesterday was Rav Moshe's sort of yahrzeit. He was the Yud Gimel Adar Beis is Rav Moshe's yahrzeit, not Adar Aleph. But anyway, so Rav Moshe says if that's why she's doing it, well then that's pure apikorsis. That's against everything. That's against what the Torah stands for. And then obviously it's totally awesome to do. So if she wants to do it, it should be done very privately. It should be done without anybody knowing about it. It should be done quietly. Then we could assume that it's sincere and that she's permitted to volunteer. It's not like tefillin where a woman's not allowed to volunteer. But tzitzis, a woman is allowed to volunteer. There's no issue of gufnaki. Now the assumption that a woman is that what he was assuming over here, that it's that a woman is pater but they're just volunteering? If you look at Tosfos Rav Amr Chasida v'chein Rav Yehuda Perkat Chelis de Kasavri Laila Zman Tzitzis v'lo Mitzvei Shazman Gramahu v'nashim Chayavos. No, the reason he gave his the women of his house tzitzis is not because he thought that it would be nice that they volunteer this mitzvah just like they volunteer sukkah, they volunteer lulav. He holds that tzitzis is not a Mitzvei Shazman Man Grama. Laila is man tzitzis also. So it's a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week mitzvah. So if that's the case, women are chayavos in tzitzis. That's why he actually did this, because he held that kol chayavim tzitzis, nashim, avadim, he held everybody is chayavim tzitzis. Now we happen to paskin not that way. We paskin that they're not chayavim in tzitzis, because we paskin that it is a mitzvah shazman grama, that Laila is loves man tzitzis. So anyway, once we're discussing tzitzis, so the Gemara, the point of the discussion is to bring up the issue of Tasav Lomanasli. So Talan Velo Pasuk Rashi Chutan Shalahen. The way he would make the tzitzis is he would first tie the tzitzis on before with using one long string and just folding it over a lot of times instead of having eight strings sticking out, and then afterwards he would cut it to make it look like eight strings. Yeah, Rav says all you need to do is cut the ends of the strings and then it's kosher. Then you have your eight strings and then it's totally fine. So what do you see? That Rav holds Alma Psikasan Zui Asiyasan. Even though you need to do an Asiyah of the tzitzis, you need to make the tzitzis, who says that slicing the ends is not called an Asiyah? That's called an Asiyah according to Rav. So if Rav holds that by tzitzis all you need to do is cut the ends, Sachinami Tzitzasan Zui Asiyasan. So maybe by sukkah as well, cutting off the branches that are running across the top of your sukkah, detaching them from the ground, that is the asiyas sukkah. The poskim are done. What if a person puts tzitzis on his beged at night when it's not chayiv in tzitzis? Should we say that's a violation of tasam v'lomen asui? Because at the time that it's chayiv in tzitzis biyom, there was no asiyah. So as soon as the daytime came, so it's like it made itself. Or someone who lives in Chutzlaretz for less than 30 days, he rents a house for less than 30 days in Chutzlaretz, so it's pata from mezuzah. What if a person puts up the mezuzah before 30 days? So the chayiv didn't happen until 30 days already came. So maybe once 30 days come, it's a violation, tasav lomana aswi, that the mezuzah is already there. Or should we say you have to wait for the chiyuv to come, and then you need to actually do the chiyuv. So this is a discussion, and they use the what the Rishonim talk about when it comes to sukkah, when it comes to sukkah tachas hagag, they use the discussion Rishonim over here.
here to teach us about those cases. Maybe on other days, if we have time, we'll get back to that. So anyway, so says Gemara, V'savar Shmuel, lo aminim psikasin zu yas yasin? Does Shmuel not hold that psikasin zu yas yasin? That just slicing the end of the tzitzis is enough to be called an asiya, and therefore make a kosher? V'atani Shmuel mishum Reb Chiya, hitil l'shnei kronos b'bas achas, v'achar kach pasak rashi chutin shalen, ksherin. But doesn't Shmuel say that if you put a long string in two corners of your beged at the same time, and it runs across from one corner to the other, and then you just cut it so that now it's hanging off of now it's separate strings hanging off of the different corners, that's kosher. My love, shekosher v'achach posek, isn't Shmuel talking about where you already tied everything, and all you have, and all you did to make it kosher is you cut it, and that's what made it kosher. So don't you see that even Shmuel holds psikasan zui asi asan? Says more low, sheposek v'achar kach kosher. Now we're talking about where you cut it and then you tied it. Posek v'achar kach kosher, my lemem. Well, if you cut it and then you tie it, of course it's kosher. What's the chiddush? That's obviously a real asiya. No, mal detema bina knaf b'shas psil v'leka. I might have thought that you need that you, at the time that you hang it on the beged in the first place, at the time that you place it into the beged, that it's already just on one corner, and you don't have that in this case, because you only slice them apart from each other after they're already hung on the beged. So Kamash Malan, therefore, tells me that that's okay. Meisvei, so the more challenges, so again, we have three challenges to the Shita of Rav, about Tasav Lomanasu, where again, Rav held Psikasan Zui Asiyasan, Ktsitsasan Zui Asiyasan, all you need to do is cut, and that is called an Asiyasan, that gets you around the problem of Tasav Lomanasui. So you have the branches that are attached to the ground, spread over your sukkah. All you need to do to make it kosher is to cut it, detach it from the ground, according to Rav. So it says, Mar Meisvei, Talon, Vilo Pasuk Rashi Chutin Shalen, Psulin, my lav, Psulin, Liolam, Tiyof to the Rav, that if you put them on the beged and you did not yet cut the strings at the time you put them in the beged, and then you cut the strings, so it's Pasul, so don't you see that it's Pasul? And that's a tiyuftan rav, that even if you slice it into two afterwards, it's still going to be pasul. It doesn't help to be posik it afterwards. Tiyuftan rav, samalcha rav, my psulin. Psulin Achivsku. Rav says, no, that's not what psulin means. It means that it's pasul until you slice it, until you cut the strings apart from each other. Once you do that, then it's going to be kosher. But psikasin zu yas yasin, that's perfectly fine. Ushmolam are psulin liolam. Shmuel would say it's pasul liolam, that even that cutting it's not enough, because you need to do some sort of asiya. By the schach, it's an easy asiya. You could just lift up the schach and put it back down again. But what you can do by the tzitzis, you would have to take it out, you have to untie it and retie the whole thing again. So to leave it that way is going to be pasul liolam. V'chein amar Levi psulin liolam. Levi also says it's pasul liolam. V'chein amar Rav Masna amar Shmuel psulin liolam. Rav Masna amar Shmuel also says psulin liolam. Igad amri amar Rav Masna b'didi avu uvda. Another version of Rav Masna is that not that he was just repeating what Shmuel had said and confirming that yes, we got Shmuel's shita correct, but no, he said b'didi avu uvda, it was a ma'isa rav. I actually had this. V'asali kamei demar Shmuel, and I went to Shmuel to ask him the shayla. V'amrli psulin liolam, and he told me that it's psul liolam. So then he's adding something, meaning otherwise he's just repeating that what we already know Shmuel says. Now he's adding that it wasn't just something that Shmuel said in the Beis Medrash. This was a Maisa Rav. In determining halacha, one of the Klalei HaPsak is that a Maisa Rav is a determinant in halacha. It's not the determinant, meaning there are other rules that may matter more. If you have a Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, so Beis Hillel beats out Beis Shammai, even if there is a Maisa Rav where Beis Shammai passed in a certain way. But Maisa Rav is one of the things that we have that make the halacha stronger in one direction. So Meisvei, the Gemara says, I'll bring another raya against Rav. Talan v'acharkach pasak rashi chutin shalen psulin. It says that if you hang the strings on the garment and then you cut them to make them the right number of strings, it's pasul, and according to Rav Lechor that should be kosher. V'otan yigabe sukkah, plus we have a brisa by sukkah. Tasav lo menasui. From the concept of Tasav Lomanasu, we learn Mikan Amru Hidloles Hagefen Vesadalas Vesakisum Vesikei Chalgabon Psula, that if you run branches across, that are still attached to the ground across the top of your sukkah, and then you put a little bit of schach on top of them, so it's possible. Say Echidami, what's the case where it's possible? Ilei Mebishlo Katzitzan, if you weren't kotzitz, if you didn't cut those branches, Ma'iri Mishum Tasav Lomanasu. Why are we even discussing the issue in terms of Tasav Lomanasu? Typically the Mechubarininu. Then obviously it's possible, because it's mechubar lekarka. Forget about tasav lomanasui; it's still attached to the ground.
Ella b'shekatsan. So it must be the Mishnah talking about where you were kotet, where you cut it off. V'katani psula. And the Mishnah still says that it's possible, even though you cut it off. So shemamin adlamin k'tisasan zui asiyasan. So we see that we don't consider cutting it to be the asiya of the schach. V'tiyufta d'rav. And therefore that's a tiyufta, another tiyufta on Rav. So from the case of Sukkah, from our Mishnah by Sukkah, that apparently you cut it and still it's possible, that's a tiyufta on Rav. Now maybe Rav could get out of that challenge by saying that the case over here with the schach is that the tree is right next to it, and it's still intertwined and tangled with the other branches of the tree, so you can't easily tell that it has been cut from the tree. So maybe that's the problem. But a normal ketzitza, where the ketzitza is done in such a way where it totally severs it, and you can clearly see that it's not part of the tree, maybe that would be kosher, says Rav. We would say ketzitzasin zu yas yasin. It's only when it's still tangled with the other branches of the tree, where it's not so evident that it was actually cut from the tree. So says Gemara, okay, great. So you answered the challenge of Rav from the Sukkah case, but remember we started this Meisve by talking about tzitzis, by saying, talen v'achar kach pasach rashi chutin shalem psulin. So mikal makom, talen v'achar kach pasach kashal Rav. That first line is still going to be a kasha on Rav, because it said that if you have the strings of the tzitzis, and then you cut them after they're ready in the baguette, it's puzzle. So kasha. So that's actually a kasha and rav. So of the three challenges, that's the one that sticks. Says Gemara, lema katanayim. Maybe this whole thing is really subject of machlokas tanayim. We're going to quote the machlokas tanayim. First suggestion of what the machlokas is about is going to be that maybe it's about this issue, but then we're going to have two other suggestions of what the tanayim might actually be arguing about. What's the machlokas tanayim? Avar v'liktan. This is a machlokas that appears in the third parak of this Masechta. The halacha is that hadasim that have anavim rubus me'alav, that have more berries than they have leaves, are possible. You're not allowed to have too many berries on a hadas. But there's a simple solution. Can't you just pull the berries off of the hadas? So that's the machlokas. Avar v'liktan. If you're not allowed to pull the berries off of the hadas on yantif, it's tikkun mana. So you're not allowed to do that on yantif. What if you did it? Would that make it kosher? So avar v'liktan possible. Divrei Rabbi Shimon bar Yod Tzadik. Rabbi Shimon bar Yod Tzadik says it's possible. L'cham machshirin, and the chum say that it will be kosher if you remove the berries. So what are they arguing about? So Vrua, the initial assumption is dukuli alma lulav tzarech eged. Everyone holds that the lulav needs to be tied together, needs to be bound. V'alfina lulav misukah. And also there's a din of tasav lomanasoi just like by lulav, just like there's a din of tasav lomanasoi by sukkah. So the eged of the lulav needs to be made. You can't have an eged on pasul aminim and then be machshir the minim. It has to be an asiyah. There needs to be an asiyah of a lulav. It says by sukkah ta'aseh, and it can't be mina asui. Same would be true by lulav. You need an asiyas halulav. So my lav bakamifli. So what are they arguing about? The following demand of machshir, the one that says that if you pull the berries off, that it's okay. Savar amin gabi sukkah k'tzitzasin zvi yasiyasin would say that that's the equivalent of cutting, of detaching the schach from the ground once the schach is already running across the top of your sukkah. That's called an asiyah. Pulling the berries off is asiyah. The one that says that it's possible would hold that by sukkah cutting the branches is not an asiyas sukkah, and by lulav would therefore say that we do not hold likitasan zui asiyasan. We would not say that that picking the berries off is the asiyah of the lulav. So don't you see that it's exactly that machlokas, that you need an asiyah by lulav for sure, and the only question is, how do we define asiyah? Is cutting the berries off considered a legitimate asiyah of the lulav? That's what the Gemara suggests the machlokas might be about. Again, the machlokas was between Rabbi Shimon Yo Tzadok and the Chamin. Tosus just has a difficult time where he tries to make sure that we don't have a difficult time identifying this Rabbi Shimon Yo Tzadok. He says this Rabbi Shimon Yo Tzadok is a Tana. He says this must be the one that's mentioned all over Shas. Amar Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yo Tzadok. Rabbi Yochanan always quotes from Rabbi Shimon Yo Tzadok, which means he was from the later Tanaim, because Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora. Rabbi Yochanan was in the generation of Rav and Shmuel, and that was the borderline Tanaim Amoraim generation. That's why the Gemara says in a few places, Rav Tanahu Upalig, Rav held himself like a Tana, and he didn't stam hold himself like a Tana, like someone getting up today and saying, I hold myself like a Rishon, and I want to argue on the Rambam. No, he held himself like a Tana, because it was right in the borderline generation. So the early generations of Amoraim were first Mekabel, that they're not going to argue with Tanaim. The time would be better spent figuring out what the Tanaim have to say than arguing on the Tanaim. But Rav, there was never Mekabel that. Rav was never Mekabel not to argue on Tanaim. So Rabbi Yochanan, if he's quoting Rabbi Shimon Yotzadak, so Rabbi Shimon Yotzadak was from the later generations of Tanaim. Tosfos just points out that there is an odd Gemara, if that's the case, that he was Rabbi Yochanan's Rabbi, and in all of Ashas, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Rabbi Shimon Yotzadak, the Gemara tells a story in Sanhedrin Daf Chavav that Reish Lakish calls Rabbi Shimon Yotzadak or Roe Bakar. And Rabbi Shimon Yotzadak came to complain to Rabbi Yochanan. Look what Reish Lakish called me. He called me Roe Bakar. So Rabbi Yochanan says, and Ikarinu Roe Tzon, my Avid Nilchu. Yeah, and if he would have called you a Roe Tzon, would that have been so bad? Now, if he was his Rebbe, he probably would have tried to defend his honor a little bit more than that. So it must be that there was another Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. So just in terms of identifying him, this is Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak the Tana. That story in Sanhedrin must have been Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak and Amora, who was the next generation after Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Anyway, so that's one possibility of what this machlokas is about. That maybe they're arguing about Kesias and Zuyas Yasin. Says Gemara, lo, that's not what they're arguing about. Everyone agrees that by sukkah it's not good enough to just cut the branches. Over here, the machlokas is what is there a din of tasav lo manasir by lulav just like there is by sukkah? The one that says that you could just cut off the berries and that's fine holds that there's no issue of tasav lo manasir by lulav. The one that says you can't just cut off the berries, pull off the berries, holds that there is an issue of tasav lo manasir be lulav, and we derive it from sukkah. Viva Yusema, a third possibility of what they're arguing about, isfir lan lulav tzarech egin, kli amal pligi delfin lulav misukkah. If it were true that there was something to make on a lulav, that there was a din of making an eged, of bundling the minim together of a lulav, then yes, we would theoretically, hypothetically, we would learn lulav from sukkah and say that there would be a din of tasav lo manasui. But v'acha b'akam, if you hear the machlok is more fundamental, marsav tzarech eged, marsav ein tzarech eged. If you hold lulav tzarech eged, then in a chinami, you can't pull the berries off. But maybe lulav ain't sarach eged. Lulav doesn't need any sort of asiyah. There's no binding that's required by the lulav. And that, in fact, is a machlokas tanayim. The tanya lulav bein agud bein sheino agud kosher. Tanakama holds the lulav is kosher whether it's tied together or not. Rabbi Yudomer agud kosher esheino agud pasul. Rabbi Yudomer says no. If it's tied together, it's kosher. Otherwise, it's going to be pasul. My time is Rabbi Yudomer. Why does Rabbi Yudomer hold that you need an eged? Yalef lekicha lekicha me agudas ezov. He derives it from gzeres shava lekicha lekicha from agudas ezov. Ksif hasam lekachtem agudas ezov. By agudas ezov, it says lekachtem, and it has to be an aguda. Obviously, it needs to be bound together. Uksif hachem by lulav also ulekachtem lachem biyom arishon. So we darshin that it also needs to be baguda. Malalam baguda, afkanami baguda. That's the svara for lulav tzarecha. That's the limud for lulav tzarecha again. V'rabbanan, the rabbanan would say lekicha milekicha lo yalfinan. They have no such tradition of any such gzeres shava of lekicha lekicha. That way, they don't know. They never had such a from their rebbeim. Such a gzera shav of lekicha lekicha that we're going to connect agudas ezov to lulav, so therefore it's einot tzarech eged. So kamanos lahad tanya lulav mitzvah liyogdo v'im loogdo kasher. Now that we know that there are two shittos in Tanaim, one that says that the lulav must be agud, and the other one that says nah, it's not necessary. So who wrote the following brisa? Brisa says it's a mitzvah to be agud the lulav, but if you don't, it's kasher anyway. That doesn't seem to fit either of the two opinions. E Rabbi Yehuda ki lo agda my kasher. If you're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda says sarich eged, you need an eged, so then you wouldn't be able to say that it's kasher without it. E Rabbanan am I mitzvah. And if we're assuming like the sheet of the Rabbanan, well then why are we saying that it's a mitzvah liyagdo? Says Gemara liyolam Rabbanan hi. Umishum shnemar zekeli vanveu hisnal fun of the mitzvahs. We're assuming like the Rabbanan that lulav ain't sarich eged, and even though lulav ain't sarich eged, we still do it. The reason we do it is because that makes for a more beautiful mitzvah. The halacha is that Zekeh Manveh, we should try to beautify our mitzvah as much as possible, and that's the only reason to be ma'aged the lulav. Now, Al Pi Pashtus, Rav Shachta points out in Gina Segos and Simon Yadalid, that when Rabbeinu Tam, when we discussed the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam several times already, that a woman is not allowed to be Ogei to Lulav because she's not a Bar Chiyuva, Lechor, that's only within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that Lulav Tsarich Eged. And therefore, since the Eged is Leikuva, someone who's not Chayiv can't do the Eged Lishma, can't do the Asiya Lishma. But if the old Lulav ain't Tsarich Eged, there's no din of a Maisa Agida, there's no Asiya, even though there is a concept that it should be agud because of Zekeli Van Veyu, that's just in the result. That's just in that it, at the end of the day, it should be agud. A woman could accomplish that also. She ties it tightly, so it's agud. But whenever there's a difference of an asiya, the woman will not be able to accomplish the asiya. The Magen Avram writes that even according to the Chamer of Yehuda, that since the agud is noy mitzvah, it's considered mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, and therefore, just like Rashi says by a sukkah, that even according to the Rabban of Rabbi Yehuda, l'chadchila, we should require beis ksharim zal gavizeh. We should require a double knot. So too, we should require according to the Rabbanan asiyas ha'eged l'shma l'chadchila. He says that whatever Rabbi Yehuda is going to require li'ikuva, the Rabbanan are going to require as at least a l'chadchila. A double knot, the Rabbi Yehuda requires l'chadchila. Rabbi Yehuda requires li'ikuva because of tzarech ha'eged. The Rabbanan will require at least l'chadchila. And the same is true about making it l'shma. And therefore, a woman would not be able to do it according to the Magen Avram, even because l'chadchila we would hold tsarich eged. Rav Salvechik was machmir for the shita that you need an asiya l'shma by the eged of the lulav, and even though it's only for the sake of hidur mitzvah, and therefore he held that those things that we put the hadasim and ravos in is problematic because the hadasim and ravos are already in it; it's already agud, and then you put it on to the lulav. He held that that's a problem of tasav lo menasu because you need an asiya l'shma. According to the Magen Avraham. Okay.